The origin of the people of God is the event of the Exodus, the liberation of Israel from Egypt. Divine revelation is from the start the manifestation of the power of God as God acts in history. The oral tradition of the liberation from Egypt is the most ancient oral tradition, and it is essential to the oldest books of the Old Testament, the books of the prophets Amos and Hosea. The oral traditions of the Exodus were compiled first in the book of Deuteronomy and then later recorded again in the book of Exodus, especially in Exodus chapters 19 to 24. Deuteronomy literally means second law. Compiled after the division of Israel and the conquest of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians, Deuteronomy is a remembrance of the giving of the covenant in a series of discourses given by Moses as the people prepare to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The compiling of the book of Exodus was inspired by another moment of crisis, when Israel was conquered by the Persians and went into exile in Babylon. So we see how scripture develops in response to challenges in the life of the people of God and the insights gained through those challenges. The Exodus, as it is presented in the Bible, is rooted in historical events. It is rooted in the history of immigrants. The Israelites were shepherds who had migrated from Canaan to the province of Goshen on the delta of the Nile River. In Egypt, they were subjected to the practices of conscripted labor. Some Canaanites were probably taken by force to Egypt as slave labor. The liberation of Israel from Egyptian oppression forms the heart of the identity of the people of God. In the presentation of the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy, the Sabbath worship is to be a remembrance of God's act of liberation. Take care to keep holy the Sabbath day, as the Lord your God commanded you. For remember that you too were once slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with his strong hand and outstretched arm. We cannot determine how accurate the accounts of the Exodus liberation are in the Bible. That is because the Bible does not report historical events the way a journalist would in our day. The documents of the Bible are always involved in evangelization, and they evangelize by relating the events of history to the mythological accounts that people in the ancient world accepted as reality. So the book of Exodus is both account of history and dialogue with myth. Here we see the general principle that the books of the Bible are written for us, but not to us. We are not the original audience of the books of the Bible, but there are universal principles that we can learn from them. It is our task to understand what divine revelation says to us today by probing into the whole history of revelation. The number 10 is clearly a symbolic form that dominates the Exodus account. 10 plagues in Egypt, 10 commandments, 10 rebellions against Moses in the desert. The account of the birth of Moses refers to the birth of King Sargon of Mesopotamia. The name Moses means born and was part of many names in Egypt. Ramos meant born of the god Ra. Thutmose meant born of the god Thoth. But the mediator of the covenant is simply named Moses, born not of any god, but uniquely the creation of Yahweh, the one true God. The account of the plagues that are sent on Egypt are confrontations with the belief in magic and sorcery in the ancient world. As Jan Osman sums it up, Egypt stands for the old abandoned order. Egypt is a multifaceted symbol for what Israel had to leave behind to follow Yahweh. In the political dimension, Israel is a revolution against the political system ruled by ancient divine kings. Israel is a chosen people and a completely new form of political community. In the religious dimension, Israel had to abandon polytheism, which saw the world as controlled by many gods who interacted with human beings through natural forces. Israel was called into relationship with the one God who transcended the world. In the dimension of knowledge, Israel leaves behind the mythological accounts of time, which were defined by repeating cycles, for a historical order of time in which God can lead them forward in creative growth. The unique relationship of Israel with God in the covenant is expressed in the metaphors of marriage and adoption. These are metaphors of intimacy with God that are unknown in the ancient world. The Lord speaks through the prophet Hosea, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son." The prophet Hosea himself is called to place himself in Yahweh's position in relation to Israel and to understand the people's betrayal of the covenant as the Lord commands him to marry a prostitute. The Lord said to Hosea, "Go take a prostitute for a wife and a prostitute's children, for the land gives itself to prostitution, turning away from the Lord." There are three unique features of the covenant with Moses that convey the totally new and unique knowledge of God that is revealed to the people brought into being by the covenant: God's presence, God's word, and God's mission. The covenant establishes God's presence in the midst of the people in a new and unique way. The Exodus emphasizes this as Moses himself stands three times in the presence of God. Moses stands first in the presence of God at the burning bush. In this encounter, God reveals his name to Moses, Yahweh. The name Yahweh comes from the verb to be in Hebrew. It is often translated, "I am who I am," or "I am who is," or "I who makes to be." The meaning is clearly that the true God is the transcendent source of all that exists. Through the covenant, Israel will exist in the presence of the creative power that brought the world into being. This knowledge will reach another stage when Jesus comes into the world and is called the Word, who was with God and who was God in the Gospel of John. Word in Greek is logos, a term that refers to the ordering principle of creation itself in Greek philosophy. The burning bush encounter is also to be seen in light of the history of Moses in Egypt. We see in the early chapters of Exodus how Moses himself is transformed in the presence of God from a potentially violent revolutionary into a servant of the covenant. This is an early expression of the theme of overcoming violence as the consequence of the condition of sin, which runs through the whole Bible. Moses' second encounter with God is in Exodus 24, when he's called to Mount Sinai for 40 days to receive the tablets of the Ten Commandments directly from God. Moses' third encounter with God is in Exodus chapter 33, when he reveals the instructions for building the tabernacle. The Moses covenant also establishes the unique relationship of God with Israel through God's word. Unlike words of God spoken to oracles and soothsayers, in the covenant God speaks directly to the people through the prophets, and God gives the people a written law to define their unique place in the world. The law comes to be known as the Torah, which could also mean instruction or teaching in Hebrew. The covenant law was not really a definition of moral requirements or a definition of right and wrong. We often read it that way. The purpose of the covenant law was not to define bad behavior so that it could be restrained. Rather, the covenant law established the conditions necessary for the people of God to live in the presence of the Lord, so that they could continue to witness to God as God's presence blessed them and worked through them. The first covenant is received by Moses, who is also the first prophet. The covenant received by Moses is the covenant that establishes the office of prophet as the medium through which God will interpret his actions to the people. In the Old Testament, word and action are tightly bound together. In the creation narrative of Genesis, God acts on creation through the word. "Let there be light. Let the earth bring forth vegetation." Deuteronomy records the intention of Yahweh to establish a lasting line of prophets. "Though the nations whom you are to dispossess listen to their soothsayers and fortune tellers, the Lord your God will not permit you to do so. A prophet like me will the Lord raise up for you from among your kinsmen. To him you shall listen." From the time of Moses forward, the prophetic word will be the primary way that Yahweh will guide the people. The covenants are modeled after ancient Near Eastern treaty documents, as we have noted. The prophets often act as covenant lawyers, representing God and prosecuting God's case against the people when they betray their covenant commitment. The Torah instituted a new order of justice based on the liberating act of God. Since the Israelites themselves were strangers in Egypt, they were to empathize with strangers in their own land. Since they were poor and without rights in Egypt, they were to look after the rights and welfare of the poor. Since they were slaves in Egypt and were forced to perform hard labor, they were to allow themselves, as well as their slaves, one day of absolute rest every 7 days, and also on feast days. Only by remaining mindful of their trials and suffering in Egyptian slavery could the Israelites hope to grasp the laws to which they bound themselves in the covenant, which offered them true freedom. The great commandment in the Hebrew scriptures is the Shema, found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. God's presence confers on the people of God an important characteristic called holiness. We tend to think of holiness as something we achieve through being morally good. In the Bible, holiness is a condition conferred on the people who have been called into collaboration with God. So we read in Deuteronomy 7:6 a typical statement of the identity of Israel. You are a people sacred to the Lord your God. He has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be a people peculiarly his own. The third element of the unique relationship of the people of God with Yahweh is their collaboration in God's mission. The mission of the people of God is conveyed by two unique titles. The people are called God's son. Yahweh says to Pharaoh, Israel is my son. Let my son go that he may serve me. The people themselves are called the son of God, and they are in the unique position to manifest the power of God. The people are also called a kingdom of priests in Exodus chapter 19. This is the account of the moment of the revelation of Yahweh's presence to the people. When Israel was encamped in front of Mount Sinai, Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called him and said to him, You have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you listen to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special people, dearer to me than all the other people, though all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. As Israel was called to leave behind the political power of divine kings and to leave behind the religious power of the gods of nature, they are constituted as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They become witnesses to the power of God and collaborate in the mission of inviting the nations into the covenant, where all peoples can be united in a vision of justice that respects all human persons as created in the image of God. Jesus says, Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. God's intention to extend his love into a people created in the divine image and sharing in the divine presence would ultimately be realized only through the presence and words of Jesus. But there is much more that the people of God must learn through the covenants. Peace be with you.